everybody. Welcome to another Clan Chat Online. These are such fun, aren't they? Our guests are here ready to chat to us. Down the bottom left-hand corner, there he is, sporting a Together We Clan hat. It's our very own Jerry McLaughlin. How you been, Jerry?
Yeah, pretty good. Still surviving lockdown. Not bad.
Excellent. Bottom right-hand corner, Matt Haywood, the Clan Captain. How's things with you this week?
Yeah, good. I had an OSC video yesterday, which I'm sure you'll see in the...
I've seen it. I'm genuinely worried about my acting career now, knowing that you're out there.
Also, well, you want makeup for
the white background as well. I think you're on something about a green screen stuff at all. Effects or something.
I'm
I don't
not
know.
Quite, what you're doing I'm there. Not quite at the makeup stage where you're at today, but I'm getting
there. What's that? You like it?
There we go. And a special guest, top left-hand corner. He was part of the team in 2017-18. Now enjoying retirement, it is, of course, number 28 himself, Jacob Doughty. Jake, thank you so much for joining us. How's life where you are in your part of the world right now?
First of all, thanks for having me, and things are good. Just laying low, hanging out.
So how's it been where you are? Obviously, the coronavirus has affected everybody in all kinds of different ways. What about where you are?
I'm in Missoula, Montana, and, you know, not a very populated place, so cases have been pretty low. We're having a little spike. I think starting on Monday, masks are mandatory again, so we're having a little bit of a spike, but hopefully nothing too bad. Everyone around me, family and stuff, has been healthy, so that's all you can ask, really.
So, do you feel most comfortable in isolated locations? I'm just thinking, though, about Alaska as well. Do you just basically need to get back to the wild? Is that with Glasgow too populated for you?
Is a wild animal, that's why.
I don't really care. I can get by wherever.
Now, as I said, Jake, you were part of the team in 2017-18 as we look back on your career. I've got the information here. Not that one. 62 games it was, 19 assists, 20 points, and 161 penalty minutes. What kind of highlights can you pick out from that season?
Oh, man. Honestly, loved everything about it. But, you know, I thought we had a pretty tight group, good group of players. And, you know, I think one game specifically that sticks out is a game in Dundee. I had a fight, 2 goals and 2 assists, I think. So, I think it's kind of... big game. But yeah, honestly, I loved everything about Glasgow. I think that's well documented. Don't have a bad thing about it.
Now, the season itself ended in disappointment. The club didn't reach the playoffs. Sorry to kind of bring that up a little bit. Where do you think things went wrong for the team that year? There didn't seem to be a lot of cohesion, you know, in terms of the way the guys played at times. Just certain things just didn't work. What would you put your finger on?
I don't know. I don't know if I'd be able to pinpoint that, but it's just one of those things that didn't really work out. But, you know, I thought we were right there. If we maybe would have a little more time or got started a little earlier in the season, probably could have made a little run there. But, you know, it was unfortunate not to make the playoffs. But, you know, it's just one of those things. It's been a couple of years now, and obviously would have liked to be a part of that playoff weekend. I think that'd be something that was really cool, but I don't think I could pinpoint, you know, one thing over that year. There was kind of a lot of things and injuries to key players. And, I don't know. What do you think, thinking back to that year?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is we kind of lost the fans a bit that year. I think that's the biggest separation we had. I mean, we had a group of guys that were hanging out, and it just some of those. I think we were quite unlucky that season. Like, we weren't getting blown away every game. We were in every game. We just couldn't seem to get string a few wins together until it was too late. I'm pretty sure. I'm sure we went on that bit of a run at the end there, but it was too late. Probably lost the last two, maybe.
It's interesting. You know, see, when you look at that season and you look at, like, the stats, I know people don't like to blame injury illnesses because, like, you feel like you get brought up at some point every season. But I think, you were, like, one of only... I think two guys, I think they played every game. I think you played every game that season as well. And, like, while the team might have been a bit disappointed, you had a fantastic season. You must look back on it and, like, things really clicked for you. You found a line that worked for you. You were getting the time that you wanted. And the game here really suited, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely. When I think back to that season, that was the most fun I've had playing hockey in a long time, maybe ever. So, yeah, really enjoyed everything about it. I was playing a lot. You know, I started a little bit slower. I was hot maybe in preseason, a little bit in the first couple weeks, you know, scoring, and then kind of cooled off. And then I think my last 34 games in Glasgow, I had 30 points. So that was a fun time. I was playing with Peaks and Adam Brace. You know, we really clicked and we were having a lot of fun. I was playing a lot, so it was a lot of fun.
Can take us back to your first impressions of Glasgow, Jake, when you first arrived. John brought you in. You know, your first impressions of the city and obviously the Purple Army as well.
I think it was awesome. I flew in. I think I landed at about 2 p.m. In Glasgow, and obviously got to the apartment and Sully was there. So met him, and the OSC was having a racehorse night. And so, I mean, I took a little nap and threw myself right into the Purple Army and went to that race night with Sully and Oslansky, met Woody that night. And, you know, we had Brooksy, I think, was there. So we went to the OSC night and, you know, had a couple drinks. And the guys, the group of us, ended up going downtown and, you know, kind of seeing the city. And it was awesome. I loved
This is the night, Craig, that I was telling you about on the VIH show thing we did when Oz had one of the fans brought him a piece of shortbread. Because obviously Scottish, right? And he had a whiskey, obviously, because he wanted to try all the Scots. So Dokes is normal, so he had his shortbread and his whiskey. And then but then we were just talking about how we dunk biscuits and tea in Britain and whatnot.
Right.
And I was just dunks his shortbread in his whiskey. And we're like, what are you doing?
He might have been really clever there. Get oatcakes.
I remember that first at the OSC that night, I went to the bartender and I had, you know, trying to drink whiskey because it's the right thing to do, right? So, but I ordered a whiskey with 7-Up or Sprite or ginger ale or something, and the bartender told me no, I won't. That was kind of my like, oh, okay. Well, I'll
just did he not even make a joke of it? He just went, no, what else?
No, I'm not going to do that. Said, okay.
What are you American? Are you American? No.
you're ordering wrong. I'll tell you how to do it. What do you make of all these, like, because I know for some players it can be quite a shock. Shock's maybe the wrong word for it, but all the events that the club has throughout the season, and I know it can be a lot, especially if things aren't going well with the teams, because, you know, people want the team to focus and the pressure can come on. But we also hear so much positive feedback from that as well, because it really does. I mean, you do such a fantastic job of putting on those events, those club events as well, those business club events, and it feels like there's a lot of culture kind of comes from that, and people get to see each other, get behind the team more. But I know it can also be a fine line between how much that's cutting into the team time and if there's families. I know that can be tough as well. But what was your kind of take on that when you look back on it? Is that those things, moments you remember almost as much as the hockey as well?
Yeah, definitely. I enjoy doing stuff like that. You know, it's I'd been other places where they do that, maybe not as much, but you know, I look at it as a chance to get to know people around, you know, the fan base and, you know, make relationships like that. I really enjoyed that and hearing fans and getting to know people and hearing what they think of the team. You know, I really like stuff like that. And I think in Glasgow, you guys did a great job of that.
That was a very difficult time with the season. I feel like I'm harking back to that a bit much. But I've got a bone to pick with you, actually, Jake. Just it's come into my mind there. We showed the game with Milton Keynes last week, and you get yourself involved with two scraps, one with Matt Nickerson, which I'm going to ask you about, and Kevin King as well. And did you know you frightened my daughter that year to the point where she didn't come back for a whole season?
Wow. Sorry to hear that. That's not good.
No, but that night, I think we all remember that one, and we watched it again last Saturday. The fight with Matt Nickerson in particular, I don't know if Matt had a bit of a reputation, you know, from your point of view, just coming into the league and everything. But what was that like in that fight? Just from my recollection, I'm sure Jerry will agree with me on this, the atmosphere that night was just something else. I'd never felt that before. And when you and Matt got together, it was like, wow, you know, and you battered him as well.
Right. Yeah, definitely. You know, I definitely knew who he was. And, you know, like I think I said in an interview after the game I put out that I was looking for a fight. You know, I was brought in kind of to do that, I believe. And it'd been a few games and I hadn't been able to get a fight. And, you know, I finally got one with Nickerson there and went well. And like you said, the building was buzzing. It was awesome. You know, I miss that. You know, the rink in Glasgow can get hopping and it was a lot of fun to play there.
I think it was so big because he fought Fitzy numerous times and they'd been good fights, but he always kind of took Fitzy down, whatever, just because he's a bit of a bigger boy than Fitzy and whatever. Yeah, I think that was the first time that any of our fans had ever seen him get beat. So that was like a big moment. We're like, oh, we've got someone. Like, yeah. Not saying Fitzy can't beat him, but just happened that, you know, he's just used to rugby tackle him and he probably can't do that to Dotes because he's a little bit
bigger. Didn't Fitzy beat Nickerson after Nickerson went for Keither in the first
period? It was once he punched him and he got belly legged or something. Yeah, because it was on a highlight. Yeah, but I think out of the seven or eight fights they had, I think Nickerson ended up on rugby tackling him quite a few times, I think.
It definitely felt like another installment of Nickerson as a villain to Bray Head. Yeah. Now we've got Jacob and everyone wanted to see how that would pan out. It must be quite interesting to know that you can control a room with thousands of people with your actions in that way and doing it right. That must be such an incredible piece of knowledge and feeling. And how does it feel for you to know that?
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. I love that. You know, it's a huge adrenaline rush for myself, obviously. And, you know, when you can pump that much energy into a building by a fight for 10, 15 seconds, you know, it's a special feeling. And, you know, I think it flips energy in a game. You know, if you're in an away building and it's hopping around loud, buzzing, you know, you can kind of shut that down with a fight if it goes your way. You can ramp it up in your home building. And, you know, I think it sparks, obviously it's no secret. You can put a spark into your team. And you know, that's a big thing. And, you know, it's something I really enjoy doing. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to come out on top for a lot of them. You know, it's something I really enjoy doing.
How do you manage to calm yourself down like that when you're in the penalty box? How do you take the adrenaline and suppress it and get back into your game? Because you've always seemed very level-headed. Every time I always chatted to you that season, like even the season starting, I mean, it's quite a piece of knowledge to know that you're going to be a go-to and you guys, everyone in the league all starts checking each other. But you've always seemed so level-headed and just take that totally in your stride. You've never seemed to let the adrenaline run at all or any anxiousness. How do you do that? How do you kind of get yourself back in check, especially right after a fight?
I don't know. I don't know how it happens. You know, I just find myself, you know, taking inventory on my body. Am I hurt? You know, maybe, you know, just looking around, feeling the energy that you just brought or watching the energy deplete out of a building if you're in the away building. You know, watching the game, see what happens, see if, you know, there's a few times I think in Glasgow, like I would fight and then 40 seconds later, Oz would come in and fight and then we'd sit in there and talk about it. And, you know, so it's just kind of, I mean, it's just one of those things. That's a huge part of my role as a hockey player. So I just kind of treat it as normal business, you know, as normal as you can make a fight. I mean, obviously it's a different animal, but you just try and, you know, get back to playing your game after that as best you can.
Question from Rod Massey. One of the questions we've had in for you, Jake. Which player did you enjoy punching the most? I don't know if there is someone you particularly enjoyed scalping, but carry on.
Yeah, I don't. I can't think of anyone that year and a half over in the UK that I really disliked. I don't think I can say anyone in that year and a half I was over there. I would like to have, I mean, obviously I got dropped by Gagnon, like another go at that if we ever cross paths again. And I don't think that would surprise him at all. I know he'd be looking for another one if it went the other way. So that's all I'll say about that. I can't say that I really disliked anyone that I fought.
I think Dokes' best fight while he was over here for us was away in Manchester when he fought Rosie. I remember him squaring up to that, and I was in my head, I'm thinking, because I've only ever really saw him fight Nixon, and obviously Rosie's an NHL tough guy, and I'm just like, what's this going to go? First 10, 15 seconds, I think he got a couple in, and then it was just all Dokes, and I was looking at Peaks, and I was like, this guy is the nicest guy ever, and he just it was insane. He was right next to the bench, so you could just hear like off each other's faces and stuff. Just, and then he just come into the room after. He's like, "How was that? Is that good?"
Not bad, man. Yeah, yeah. That was definitely a good one. I know there was a, obviously with Rosehill being in Glasgow before, there's, you know, maybe a little more attention to that. And we played that in the first weekend of the year, and you know, obviously I was expecting to do it then, maybe to fight him then. But what I think you'll get a kick out of this is, remember that last preseason game against the German team? I can't remember who it was, but Barry cut my finger with his skate while he was changing. I had stitches in my fingers from buried skate blades, so I had to put that off for a few weeks.
If there's any player on your team where you think would injure another player on your team by taking his skate off, it would be Barry.
Oh, man. How happy was he getting over the, just jumping onto the air?
It
was mostly my fault. I took my glove off to reach down for a water bottle, but I mean, still, it was Barry. And
how did you respond to that? You go, "Hey, Barry." Barry!
Barry skated on the ice. We had no idea. So Barry was doing a drill.
Did you do that?
Those stood there bleeding in his finger. Barry's none the wiser. Hey, was Barry, it an open mark? Was that an open Harvey that?
No, it was at the arena. It was during it was in the third period of that last preseason game.
Poor Barry, he'd have been mortified.
Oh yeah.
He felt so bad, bless him, didn't he? You think he offered to stitch it himself when it came off?
Oh god, I can't think of anything worse. Putting tellies in is one thing, stitching a finger, oh no. But Jake, of course, you only had the 1 year in Glasgow. Would you have liked to have stayed on if the opportunity had presented itself?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think it was mutually known, and there are some conversations, and you know, it just, the longer the conversations drew out, and you know, the other opportunity came up, and it was right in front of me, and you know, it was, Nottingham had hired the new coach, you know, I was just talking with my agent. It's just kind of happened. I would have loved to be in Glasgow, and there's definitely talks about it. You know, I can't really say because I don't know, not because I don't want to say it. It's just, I don't really know why it never came together. You know, it's just over time, those conversations just kind of went on longer and longer. And then, you know, the Nottingham offer was on the table. So I decided to take it. Yeah, I know. I really did want to be back in Glasgow, and you know, I think there's definitely interest in having me back. Just couldn't seem to work out for whatever reason, and you know, the way she goes sometimes.
I think it's one of those, when coaches change over, and obviously we're in that situation again at the moment, which is not ideal. But you find that those get lost because no one wants to be signing certain players without that head coach being in, and it's like a pandemic situation. But I think with the scenario that really suffered from it, and there's a lot of things when you look back to that season. I don't know how you feel about it, Woody, but you look at, actually, there's loads of really unlucky things. I know I hate sort of saying that because obviously you can make your own luck, but the guys like the injuries to Tyler Schofield and Shaq, well, when they were playing together, I actually thought they were on the best lines we've ever had in Glasgow. I thought they were fantastic together. Adam Brace, but like
Brace broke his leg, did he not break his ankle or something? I think he played on a broken ankle for 2 weeks or something.
Really unfortunate. I know like but teams
are Colney.
Really,
a lot of injuries that year. And like you said, you don't want to say it because other guys can pick up the slack. But I remember games we were playing with two lines. It's hard to compete.
At the start of the season, I think people, when you talk about this year, really forget what a flyer the team got off to with that Scottish Cup happening. And like we were going, oh, this team's click, because that's the hardest thing to click that quickly. I thought it was great. What was the kind of vibe, guys?
I think we were in really good shape.
Yeah.
I think that, to John's credit, he definitely got us in really good shape. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
he was pretty hard, but he was good. If you can go into that season in better shape than anybody else, you've got a free month basically before anybody else catches up.
Yeah, so definitely. Yeah, there's definitely some practices out at Auchinard. Why can't I say that? How do you say that? Auchinard?
Auchinard.
There you go. I'll just go. that were just so hard. I remember there'd be times guys literally couldn't move. I remember, not to pick on Barry, but I remember we were skating. Remember when he was
3 laps in 45 seconds.
Yeah, and he couldn't do it. He was so mad, and he was so frustrated and slammed his stick a few times, then threw it against the glass. And I remember looking around, and guys were like, wow, okay. I think at that point, John kind of like, switch like okay, like maybe I should back off.
I think that was the sixth rep of the point.
That was actually
after that one. We had a gym session before that practice as well, so it was like it's just one of those days that you just have to get through and it's hard and whatever.
But it was over the top.
Yeah. Well, so did Barry. But on the way home, right, we stop at there's a little garage around the corner. And guys stop and get Subway salads and that, you know, because we're quite healthy athletes and stuff. And I got back in the car and there was me, Peaks and Sully, and Dokes jumped in, obviously, because Dokes lived with Sully. So he was in the brick car and he just sat in the back with me and he got a big Dairy Milk caramel.
Oreo.
Like, you know, the big ones that are Oreo, that was it, sorry. And it was like, you know, the big ones that are on offer for like £1 now and again. And so I was like, oh, get it in your don't sort of thing. He's like, I need the sugar. And then I looked, I turned away and I looked back and this thing's gone. Like, he ate it within 7 to 10 seconds. I'm not even joking. He inhaled it.
Are those special, big special ones as well, like large ones?
Yeah.
Is that like a normal chocolate bar to you, don'ts? Like what? Yeah.
maybe back in those days, I must say, I'm about 15, almost 20 pounds lighter than I was back then.
So, I bet you could still do it, 100%.
I could still do it, but I've cleaned myself up a little bit.
Let me jump in here. A young fellow by the name of Craig Peacock actually asked the question, can you still eat a family-sized bar of Dairy Milk in 25 seconds, and do you miss Marty Mushrooms?
I think I could still
miss Marty Mushrooms. I tell you that, he doesn't miss that.
I could still do the candy bar, I think, and Marty Mushrooms. Just one of those.
Because we did a clarity video with you, though. You remember the interview, and you're like, "What do you feel is like your biggest thing that you need to work on?" And you literally went like off script on it. Went, you said, yeah, my garbage gut. It was like at that moment it became therapy rather than this community that we were putting together. You're like, I need to get dirty. I have a garbage gut. And yet you were working out that hard that season as well. So it would have been hard to keep that weight up and stuff. There's a lot of guys, you play a lot of games and a lot of minutes. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah, Sully and I had our fair share of Almond House that year. The salt and pepper chicken and chips. Oh, that was good.
Oh, I'm starving.
There you go. Another question from a David McLeod. I've never heard of him. Question one for the big man. Does he still crush two Pepsis after a road trip? So just if we're keeping on the food and drink theme, maybe we'll throw that one in.
No. Like I said, I've cleaned that up a little bit. Still indulge in my soda once in a while, but not near as much as I did back then.
Not to excess, fair enough. And he's also asking, do you tie your own fight straps yet?
Yes, I do. I just have, I don't know what it was with our jerseys that year, but they had like almost like a elastic fight strap, and that I didn't like that at all. So I had Dave fix something up, but then I couldn't tie it myself. So he had to do it for each period and stuff. So, but yeah, I am doing my own, fight straps now.
God, that's like my kids. My kids can't wipe their own bum at the moment, so they just go to the toilet, and when they're done, they're like, "Daddy, I'm finished." So did you do that with Dave?
Dave, yeah. Exactly. Like,
sometimes Dave's pretty hard to find before a game, though, so Dokes would be stressing. We'd be 3 minutes and Dave's around at the bench and he's like, "Where is he? I need this thing tied up."
Yeah, he's doing a good job though.
So speak of now, what have you been up to since we last saw you, Jake? You've had your spell at the Panthers, obviously. You moved on from then. What have you been up to since?
So I went, obviously started the next year in Nottingham. Just wasn't working out very well. Wasn't getting the minutes I would have liked. And, you know, things were just kind of off. Jess was pregnant at the time. And we ended up going to Allen, Texas to finish out that year. In the East Coast, and you know, team wasn't very good at all, which is kind of unheard of for Allen. But you know, I had a good year, had a good spot, enjoyed our time there. And then last summer, I re-signed in Allen to go there, and ended up taking a tryout in the American League right before camp, and then ended up making the Ontario Reign American Hockey League team out of training camp and stayed there all year. So that was pretty good. You know, happy to be back in the American League. Obviously you want to play at the highest level you can, and to be there was to scratch and claw my way back into that league was something I'm very proud of. And I actually have re-signed back in the American League. Can't say where yet. It's not public knowledge, but I do have a contract for next season in the American League.
Congrats, man. That's epic. You've totally earned that. I think a lot of people didn't realize it, or tend to forget, like, as well, that you're been a young player when you signed for Clan as well, and you're 27 now, is that right?
Yep.
Just like, yeah, fantastic age to be in the AHL as well. So I think it definitely deserves a massive congratulations, man. You've literally fought your way there.
Well done.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Question from James Sansom. Now, in light of obviously what you've just told us there, he's asking, could we ever see you back in purple? Would you ever rule out a return to Glasgow if it ever appeared?
Yeah, definitely. I think that would be something I'd be very open to. When that time comes, I would like to obviously stay in the American League as long as I can. And I think there is a possibility of that later. It's something Jess and I have kind of talked about, and something I'd definitely like to do. So we'll see. We'll see what happens, but I definitely wouldn't rule it out.
Now, Big Andy, at Big Andy 18 on Twitter, he's asking if you had any prior EA Sports NHL experience before schooling everyone at the Christmas market night at Barvaria. I wonder if that's a memory that comes back to you. He's still not convinced given the beating he took in the semi-finals, and he also says you're such a nice guy during your time in purple. Is that a night you remember?
Yeah, I do. They had the NHL up on the screen, the projector there, and I honestly don't play video games, so I'm not sure how I ended up. I can't remember if I won the tournament or just won a couple games, but I don't play video games, so that was just by chance.
Good stuff. And I've lost it. I had another one here as well. Joe Gilfillan, just a memory, he says, he remembers you throwing the puck and trying to catch it on your stick. And it was always a highlight of his watching you during warm-up as well. Is that something you've perfected in the years since we've seen you? Or are you still trying to get that one right?
I wouldn't say I perfected it, but I'd like to say more often than not I catch it, I'd say. Maybe it takes a few tries, but I still do that a little bit. So maybe not as often or as high, but I still mess around like that a little bit in warm-ups.
It was his own music for the warm-ups too, so that's probably helps him.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's well,
a little help. I had a little bit of help, but yeah.
We made him audition for when we used to go to Auchenhavy, and when we had the Brit car, we made him do a little. He had to make a little British playlist to see if we liked it, and it wasn't supposed to be the usual, you know, like just Google British music or whatever. And he was sweating. He was sweating a bit though.
I think, to my memory, he
was really good, but I remember we gave him a week to do it, and he was like researching it all, like what bands are from where, and sweating, because he takes pride in his music. He used to do it in a room, that, don't you? So he was sweating over it, but he did a good job. I'm pretty sure he had like Keane and Fratellis and things like that, people you wouldn't even hear of. So But they're Busted and McFly and on there. Might have been on there. I don't know.
No, Queen. Queen not on there? Come on.
Well, I think we asked for Britpop, really, more than...
all the hot young bands, guys. All the new bands. Queen.
Yeah. Def Leppard, Status Quo. Yeah, all them.
I've got a question. I know we've not got long left, Craig, but like, obviously, Jake, I'm still following you on Instagram. It's great to see your life just growing and growing. And I know you've got your new home and Jess and you have... got your wee boy there. It's Dallas, isn't it? Dallas. What's his middle name?
Dallas Dean. Yeah,
Dallas Dean Doggy. Triple D.
Triple D.
I like it. That's a wrestler in the making.
D cubed.
That's awesome. That's amazing. Yeah. I'd also say you've got a chance to hang out with Lord Stanley with the cup as well. Was that your buddy? Is that a buddy from Alaska then that you were pals with, or how did you, what's the connection?
No, so my rookie year, I got called up from the East Coast to the American League in about February, which is right around the end of the college hockey season.
Right.
And so one of their guy, Colton Parayko, Stanley Cup champion with the Blues, obviously. And me and him lived, so after his college season, he went to Chicago as I got called up to Chicago. And we lived in a hotel together for like 3 months. So we got to know each other very well, obviously. And one of my best friends to this day stood up in my wedding. And yeah, obviously they won the Stanley Cup. So I went up there for his little Stanley Cup celebration, his day with the cup, and spent all day up there, his family and all his friends and stuff. So that, yeah, it was awesome. Day I'll remember forever, obviously. And, still one of my best friends. So that was a cool day for sure.
Is everyone just giddy all day? Everyone's just like, ah! it's like here he is. Ah!
Yeah. I mean, we got there. I got there, like, I flew in the afternoon and kind of met up with his college buddies and we hung out. But so we had a little private thing with all his close friends. And then he actually took it. He did like a rooftop thing at some bar and was doing like pictures for charity. Like you could donate $5 to get a picture with him. So he did that for a few hours and then went to a country club, the golf course he's a member at, for a dinner and celebration stuff, and went late into the into the next morning. But it was a ton of fun. Awesome.
Many bars eaten that night.
Guys, we're going to have to leave it there. Time is running out on us, I'm afraid. Jake, thank you so much for joining us. Good to see you again. Glad to hear everything's going really well for you. Jerry, keep up the good work, whatever it is you're doing right now. I'm sure we'll talk about it soon. Matt, hopefully that garden's about done and the family are keeping well. No, it's still not done. Oh, well. We'll find out more about that next week. Clan Classics this week. It's the Glasgow Clan against Dundee Stars, an 11-goal thriller. I think we got 9 of them that night. But check it out. Information is all on the website right now, as well as information for 50-50 tickets and Shirt Off the Back, which is Lyndon Springer's. That's definitely worth getting your money in for that. In the meantime, thank you so much for watching. We'll have another Clan Chat online next week. Talk to you soon. Bye.